We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, another important decision has to be made, and that's what to do about schools this fall. And it's turning into a very contentious situation with a lot of arguing. Is the arguing about safety, or is this turning into something that's not so nice and maybe even political? Leslie Haley is the chair of the Chesterfield Board of Supervisors. Kevin Carroll is the vice chair, and both of them are with us this morning to kind of talk through this issue. Where do we stand right now in Chesterfield? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning. Well, I think that there's a lot of community conversation going on about this, and I think there's a lot of community concern as to whether or not parents and citizen voices are really being heard. And I think that from our perspective, you know, from the beginning of this pandemic, you know, we on the county side set expectations of meeting our citizens' needs and service provision that was going to be, you know, to the extent that we could, make sure that there was no blips in service, and that meant many, many models and many ways in which we shifted that service model to make sure that both the citizen services were provided and our employees on the employee side were well protected. And we have done, I think, an exemplary job with that, and that's been the challenge that we're putting to our school board as well as they make this decision that, you know, they've got a responsibility to citizens to continue to meet citizen needs in the delivery of services. We're a government. We don't get to just shut the doors and, you know, just roll up the carpet. And so I think that that is the challenge that sits before them right now.
What do you think the danger is? You know, back when everybody pulled the plug on the spring semester, I think there was a lot of anxiety about, you know, who is really vulnerable, who could get seriously ill and die from this virus. And then over the last 3-4 months, we've gotten some strong data that I don't think is even questionable now, that young people are the least vulnerable to major illness and very much not vulnerable to dying, unless there's some other issue that, you know, is very rare with their personal health situation. Is that analysis accurate, I guess, first? And is that what's driving the conversation here? Or is it teachers who presumably are a little bit older who are nervous about their own health?
Well, candidly, I don't even know that we have to go to that analysis and try to second guess what all the information is on the public health perspective. Mm-hmm. I think every parent should be given the opportunity to assess that information in their own comfort zone of what works for my child, with my family, with my considerations. I think that this, in some respects, might be one of the easiest decisions a public official ever has to make, because there is an opportunity for them to offer two options and allow that citizen the opportunity to make the decision that works best for them with the way in which they're assimilating data, the way in which that data affects their home and their students, their extended family, because the model of allowing virtual learning, which I think everybody agrees has to be at one opportunity, and allowing a back-in-classroom opportunity for those who feel comfortable. And so I'm not sure we have to be the master of that health information and that health data in a way that directs this decision as much as allowing for other opportunities. And I think Kevin has some comments on that as well.
Well, John, I think that there's risk certainly associated with anything we do in life. I mean, we've put, you know, all the people who have been working at our grocery stores, our pharmacies, Amazon, all of our public safety people, all of our other core people within the county and the community that have been out working, we have not seen the massive expansion as they thought would happen in COVID-19 within our community. Yes, we have had people who continue to get this disease. It's not going to go away. But I think with the protections that people started to change their life, wearing masks, washing their hands, social distancing, I think those things have certainly helped to cut down and stop the spread in many ways. And, you know, there's going to be risk associated with kids going to school and teachers going to school. But, you know, we sat early on in this year and heard very passionate pleas from our teachers about how essential they are and how essential it is to have great teachers and a great school system. And I can't disagree with them on that. I absolutely believe that one of the core functions of government is to provide an essential education for kids. But part of that responsibility is to say that we need to give parents an option that if they want their child to be in the classroom, then we need to provide that. And if they want their child to be at home, then we need to provide that. But to just, because I got to tell you, we have a survey that the school system did. 82% of the parents want their kids in the classroom.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty overwhelming number. Now, what about the option for the teachers? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. When you and I spoke, or when folks from Chesterfield County, and I think Henrico County too, when we talked back in like late March, early April, everybody was making an effort to keep salaries the same, not to lay off bus drivers, not to just kind of pull the rug out from everyone. How did Chesterfield handle that? And you know, when you talk about options, I guess we've got to give the teachers the options of whether they go back in the classroom or do they resign or do you keep paying them? What's the solution there?
Well, you know, John, we face those same concerns on our side. You know, we made accommodations. You know, our folks in social services, mental health, our juvenile services, our child protective services, they never missed a beat. We made accommodations to ensure with our risk management folks that we could provide the safest and engage in the best practices to make certain our employees could continue to produce and provide services to our citizens in the safest model possible.
And they kept working.
We have had this kept, and it's worked. And we have had those same conversations with schools that, you know, whatever the decision is, and make no bones about this, it's the school board's decision. Risk management will step in after that decision and provide best practices to them to ensure the best practices of safety for the students, the staff, for the citizens, based upon their decision. That being said, in a case like this, you know, you've got teachers that certainly may have some concerns, but those teachers, there will be opportunities for virtual learning. You know, the model's going to have to be created that works for, you know, both aspects of choice. And there is a model that will work. As to the aspects of, you know, what you do with ancillary employees, and there will be employees that are not needed, and there may have to be some tough choices. But we're spending the citizens' money. This money belongs to the citizens, and we have to be accountable to them. And many of them have been laid off, and many of them are facing unemployment issues. So how do I look at them and say, oh, but I'm going to pay an employee to sit home? And yeah. So those are tough questions and tough decisions the government has to make. And based upon the choices they make on this issue, we're going to have some tough decisions to make on this as well.
Yeah. Well, I hope nobody expects to stay home and not work and just collect a paycheck. I, you know, coming from a family with a mom who was a school teacher and a father who was a principal, I know that's not the general attitude of most people in public education, but you do have to ask yourself, am I earning this check, and am I doing what's right for my students? Real quick, because I got to go, when's the vote on this for the school board?
The vote is Tuesday night, okay. So there's still some time, and I think that, you know, just a real ending comment, quick ending comment, yeah. Kevin.
Yeah, John, people come to Chesterfield for, and this is a legitimate thing when you look at housing values within different school districts. Mm-hmm. People move to Chesterfield County because of the quality schools that we have. And
that's true.
My fear is that people will look at that and go, well, Chesterfield no longer has the quality schools, so why should I choose them over anybody else? I fear that a lot of parents who have the ability will pull their kids out of our school system and put them mm-hmm. in private schools. And maybe never bring them back. And so, you know, these are legitimate concerns that we need to look at as well. We have fantastic teachers, and I think the majority of our teachers, I think they want to be in the schools teaching. And the teachers that I've talked to, that's what they've said. I want to be in the classroom with my kids.
We will be following it as we get closer to Tuesday. I appreciate both of you coming on and talking through it with me, Leslie Haley, the chair of the Board of Supervisors in Chesterfield, and Kevin Carroll, the vice chair. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.